And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning about what they had told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I've noticed that preachers tend to have things, blind spots, in their preaching. Some preachers just ignore problematic passages in Scripture, especially violent passages or really sexist passages, things that we just don't like to admit are in our Bible. Some preachers like to avoid judgment passages, anything that would convict, preferring more to just welcome people in and tell them about the love of Christ without any of that conviction stuff. And some preachers, like your preacher, is really good with the problematic passages and really good with the convicting passages, but when it comes to joy, just don't do very good with it. I'm really good at making you squirm, not so much at making you feel good. And so as I thought about this, and as I thought about the themes of Advent, and I thought about joy, I really honestly thought to myself, what does a joy sermon actually look like? What do I actually need to say for a sermon to be joyous? And the fact that I had to think about that and honestly ask myself that question should show you just how little I actually preach on joy. You've all had me for a little over a year. You know that that's the case. And it doesn't get any better over year two. But I just had to think about that joy, because I'm so guilty of forgetting it. I'm going to take a little poll, and this is kind of a Christmas poll. I want you to raise your hand when I say a word for you that describes the holiday season, and I want you to leave it up while I say these words. When I say a word, this is describing the holidays, raise your hand. Stressful. I almost don't need to say another word. That's great. Leave it up, leave it up. I'm not done, but just leave it up. Difficult. Leave it up. I'm trying to get everyone. That's the goal here. Overly commercialized. Thank you, Bob. Sad. Mournful. Okay, you can set your hands down. I pretty much got everyone. There are more words I could do. But we all have these things that the holidays mean to us. Now, I don't want to focus on the real pains that we have. I don't want to take away if you're really missing somebody who has left this year. I want you to feel those feelings. I don't want you to them to stick with you longer than they need to, but I don't want you to have to ignore them. And I'm not talking about the actual stress of just this time of year. I want to talk about the crap that we do to ourselves for no reason to take away from the joy of this season. And I will tell you, pastors are the absolute worst about this at Christmas. There's not a pastor on the face of this planet who looks at Christmas and thinks, oh, this Christmas is going to be great without any stress, and we're just going to rejoice the Lord and Savior and not worry about being perfect in every way. Pastors are the worst. We want to make Christmas into something awful. It's true. I love Christmas. I do. I really love Christmas. But after about 2 weeks of Advent, Christmas is no longer Christmas. Christmas is just one more hurdle to get to before I get to breathe. And I think pastors' wives are probably second in that list. And we're all guilty of it. We make this holiday season into something it's not. We forget the joy. And as a pastor who doesn't preach on joy very often, I'm as guilty as everyone. There's something missing if we don't feel the joy of this event. And so as I thought about joy and needing to preach on joy and making myself preach on this topic that I'm just not very good at preaching on, I thought about what the shepherds must have felt that night. I've talked to people who do protection work for a living. Police officers, security people, stuff like that. And when you talk to them, there's almost this lament that they can never shut it off. It never stops. They're always on edge. They're always looking for what's going to go wrong, where the next threat is coming from. They're always on edge. And so when they're at work, it's even worse. In this story, you have a group of shepherds whose job it is at night to watch out for wolves and thieves. So they're on edge, and they're probably sitting there. I doubt there's actually a staff up here. This is fortuitous. So they're probably just standing there watching the flocks. Maybe they're relaxed, but probably not. I mean, and if they're close enough to Bethlehem to get to the house by the end of the night, there's probably a lot of people in Bethlehem as well. They're probably really on edge. And they're sitting there with their staffs, and all of the sudden, a terrifying angel of the Lord appears before them. These poor on-edge shepherds who are waiting for a threat, a terrifying angel of the Lord is before them, and then also the glory of the Lord is shining around them, which throughout most of Scripture means something bad is going to happen. I think Luke undersells it when he says they're terrified. I think it's more than terrified. I think it's just like losing their minds. Scared out of their minds. And then a choir of terrifying angels starts singing at them too. That's what we get. But the angel brings the most joyous message that could be brought. He brings it in the most terrifying way imaginable, but he brings the most joyous message imaginable. For unto you a Savior is born this night. Now I want to take Jesus out of this story for just a second and just paint you the image of what these shepherds find. They find a newborn baby, healthy and perfect. They find mother and father, or stepfather if you must. Mother is healthy and happy. stepfather's probably pretty proud of mother. They're all, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful scene. When you look at film and TV, it's a common scene. In the hospital room, mom holding the baby, dad beaming beside. I couldn't help but think there's an episode of Scrubs where, I mean, the rest of the story is way irrelevant to the sermon, but the scene where the mom is holding the baby and they've even given it that gold glow. It's a beautiful scene. And these are so common throughout television and film because there's a lot of truth to it. Even in the real world, seeing this scene of mother holding child is so beautiful. I mean, obviously, film and television get rid of a lot of really uncomfortable truths about childbirth, but at the end, you have this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scene. And that's what the shepherds show up to. Now, mother and father are probably not really ready to have a bunch of shepherds just break into the room. I assume they knocked, but that's a better image, just rushing in. But it's still beautiful. It's still this wonderful scene. And then add to it the fact that this is the Christ child. This is the Messiah, and they know it. Now, I doubt that they had a strong understanding of Christological doctrine or the gravity of what it means that the Messiah was sitting before them, but they knew. They knew that this was something special, and they could not help but rejoice. And so they go into the town, and they tell everyone that they can see, and everyone can tell that they are so joy-filled that they absolutely must believe this is a wonderful event. Something amazing has happened. This child represents something. They may not fully understand it. They may not fully get everything, but they know that this is heavenly and wonderful and good. This season, we get told that we're supposed to be happy a lot this season. We get told that our attitudes are supposed to match the lights and the tinsel. I'm looking at the Christmas tree and it's beautiful, and we're told our souls are supposed to match that in happiness. But I don't think that's what we need. Because a lot of us do have good reason to not be happy this season. A lot of people are missing, even in this congregation. A lot of people are longing. A lot of people are going through very stressful times of their lives, battling diseases. But in the midst of all of that, there is a joy that comes. And knowing that those people that have gone before us have reached a better place because of Christ. And knowing that in our darkness, God sits with us. And knowing that in our pain, that Christ took that pain upon himself for us. Rejoice, because the Christ child is coming. Rejoice because of this season. If your heart doesn't have a happy song to sing, that's fine. But rejoice knowing that Christ is with you. And we celebrate the coming of the Christ child. Look forward to tomorrow when we get to celebrate his birth. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.